If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, his Son, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Let the Church of Christ say, amen. 33,711 now. Just had to do that. When we think about God, when we think about man, I want to focus on three things tonight, if time will permit. Man and God, God's ability and God's response. We'll keep it very concise. Man and God, God's ability and God's response. As we think about our assigned topic, as we think about the text tonight that comes to us from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, and we recognize he will hear from heaven and answer. He will hear from heaven and answer. So when we think about man and God, God's ability and God's response, the scriptures teach 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. As we mentioned, man and God and the messianic prophet Isaiah lets us know. And although we sometimes think, and I oftentimes say at Miami Gardens, I'll look at the clock, because if I say certain things, and as a preacher, you got to be careful looking at all of you. Because if I say something, I'll say, he was looking right at me when he said that. I have to scan, and left to right, right to left, and then right down the middle. So sometimes I just talk to the clock to keep it neutral. But the bottom line is, sometimes we, as human beings, think the world revolves around us. When things don't go your way, when things don't go my way. And we've been dealing with anger, if you will, a series of lessons on anger at Miami Gardens. And we certainly welcome you on behalf of Miami Gardens. And it's so good to see some of the Miami Gardens members here and all of you. But when we think about man and God and how we think and how God thinks, have you ever felt ignored? And when people ignore you, how does that make you feel? Oftentimes you get a response, I'm upset, it frustrates me, it irritates me, I'm trying to talk to you, and you can tell when you're talking to someone, hopefully you're not ignoring me right now. But nevertheless, so I'll just go ahead and act as if you are paying attention. And so oftentimes when someone's trying to get a message to you and there's a disconnect, it leads to frustration. But I'm thankful to God that God does not think like us. May we align ourselves to a more Christ-like behavior and godly thinking. Messianic prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. Because we will upset one another. We will let each other down. And so as we talk about man versus God, not man versus God, but man as compared to God, our thought process, our focus, our mindset has to be more akin, has to be in alignment with God. And as we think about tonight, who God is and God's ability, three words, and you all know this, I'm sure, as you study the scriptures. You know, God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent, not only omnipotent, he's omniscient and omnipresent. Respectfully, all-powerful, omnipotent. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus says, all power, Matthew 28 and verse 18, for those taking notes, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. As we think about the Godhead, recognize what Jesus says, all power is given unto me. So you can't give what you don't have. If I gave Brother Lindsay right here, my dear Brother Lindsay Baker Jr., I said, I'm going to give you all the money in my pocket. And it just so happens I only have a jump drive in my pocket. So I can't give what I don't have. So Jesus said, he had his hand out too. Brother got excited. All power, Matthew 28 and verse 18, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So all power. So God is omnipotent. And we need to recognize our place. The phrase staying in our lane could not be more important as it relates to this lesson. And hearing our dear brother in the auditorium, I mean, it's so beautiful when you just see, oftentimes, just lessons just come right together, Brother Gilmore, just one after the other, and how things align. So God, who is all-powerful, but also the psalmist lets us know in Psalms 139th division, Psalms 139, beginning at verse 1, the all-knowing or just knowing everything. Now, look at man. You don't like know-it-alls. Amen. We may have some clock, and you and me again, we may have some in here. We need to be coachable. We need to be able to listen. None of us have all the answers. So man in one corner, God in the other. So God who hears, God who answers from heaven has all power. So listen to God more than man. God who hears and answers from heaven is all-knowing. So when you truly have some issues, and we all have issues, we all go through trials and tribulations, why not trust God? Oftentimes we talk to folks through counseling individually or just preaching or teaching. I've tried all this stuff, so maybe now I'll try God. That's backwards. Start with God. End with God. Stay with God. Amen. Psalms 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Nobody understands me, man says too often. We say that too often. You've searched me and you know me. Verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprise. When I sit down, when I get up, you know me, God. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God, who is all powerful, knows us, understands us from afar. Oftentimes, we as mankind, this is going to be practical and personal tonight, and certainly rooted in Scripture. We don't let people get too close to us. We don't want them to know too much about us. That's how we act. But yet, we can't make it to heaven if we're not fellowshipping. So how does that work? You don't want anybody to know your business. No one, you don't want anybody to get too close to you because they may find out something about you. Imagine that. But God, you've searched me. You know me. You understand me from afar off. Look at it again. Verse 3. Thou compassest or surrounds my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Does God understand? Inside and out. So why do we work so hard to keep people from getting to know it? It takes work to avoid people. See, we have a little circle. You can go to the right and to avoid people at Miami Gardens and go out like a back. We locked that one door, so you can't get out that one. But it's like a track meet. You guys got a lot of halls here, a lot of exits. That's great for fire egress. I understand emergency management. But the true emergency is sin. We have to work hard to avoid people. But God understands us. Let me stay with the text so I can stay on time. You are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, you know it all together. You know everything about me, inside and out. Thank you, Lord. So that God that hears, a God that answers from heaven, has all power. He knows everything. But not only that, he's everywhere. He is everywhere. He's omnipresent. The Bible lets us know in Proverbs chapter 15. Didn't exhaust all the scriptures for time's sake, but Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, we recognize, you've heard it many times. The eyes of the Lord are in a few places. Don't let me get away with that. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. In every place. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. So as we think about God's ability, it's not a matter of cannot then. What gets in the way of man and God? Think about this for a minute. If God has all power, God is all knowing, and God is everywhere, and he understands us through and through. Everything grows from the inside out. That's why I love when the psalmist says, you have searched me and you know me. You understand me from afar off. There's not a word in my tongue that you don't understand. So please don't tell the lie Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof of things not seen. So there's things we don't understand. And throughout this lectureship, I'm sure the word has been used because it was referred to a few minutes ago in the auditorium. Without even using the word, and you don't see the word in the book of Esther. But it's providence. It just so happened. Don't believe in luck. It's not, okay, that just happened. It just so happened. Providence, break down the word. Providio, someone before sees, and it's God. So we all who have missed the mark need to trust, have faith in the one who has all power, is all knowing and everywhere. Now, why is that important? Because we want to please the Almighty God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible. Let's pause for a minute. Let's go back to the basketball court, our virtual court here. Imagine trying to win the game, the victory that we've already won through Jesus Christ, and we lack faith. What if you, and I don't know how many sports fans we have here, but the bottom line is this, or any of you ever watched a game, imagine if you knew the score before it even ended. Well, we won. I checked the back of the book, and we won. Have you ever fast forward? I mean, again, with the DVR, so guess what? We won. So we should not lack faith because it is essential to the victory. God, who has all power, all knowing, and everywhere, who hears us, who answers from heaven. I'll give you some examples in a minute, biblically. But if you understand the coach, you understand who we're dealing with. But the Bible lets us know that God has been there throughout history. He's with us today, and he'll be with us for the future. But the question tonight is, do you trust him? We talk about the frustration in dealing with mankind and being ignored. We have a God who loves us, who understands us through and through, Psalms 139, as we said already. Who understands us through and through. And so let's go back. Remember the children of Israel? Exodus chapter 1 and Exodus chapter 3, respectively. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 1 first. Exodus chapter 1. And we want to look at a couple of verses here. Beginning at verse 11. Therefore they did set over them, because they were, the Egyptians were concerned. I mean, these children of Israel, I mean, they will multiply. They're going to get stronger. They're going to be mightier than we are. So no, there was a threat. A clear and present danger. Exodus 1, beginning at verse 11. Therefore do they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, make it harder for them. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Did you hear that? We understand, again, in terms of, I don't know if you still hear that, you still use the phrase, no pain, no gain. You all are working out and you're doing push-ups. It's like, is this supposed to hurt? Yes. You may be using muscles you've never used before. And if you overexert yourself, I mean, I got things hurting on me now that never hurt on me before. True story. When I was 18, I would get out of the car and just grab the basketball and go. Can't quite do that anymore. Last time I played a little basketball, I was at the court, and I'm jogging around, and I'm on this little board working my Achilles because I tore it 3 years ago, and I'm just doing all kinds of stuff. This guy's like, you're taking this really way too seriously. I said, no, I'm just trying not to get hurt. Right. You just showed up. No, this is a necessary warm-up because things don't work the way they used to work. I don't know if anybody can relate to that tonight, but let me move on. They were a threat, so let's put taskmasters over them. Make it hard for them. Exodus chapter 1. Let's look at verse 13 now. Let's make it harder for them. Verse 13. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. It was tough. It was hard. Verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Brothers and sisters, visiting friends, deliberate, intentional, purposeful, make them miserable. Let them know who's truly in charge. I don't know if you've ever gone through a situation. You may be in the midst of a storm right now. We have lost some pillars, some faithful saints of God at our congregation over the past few years. Some hard hits, real hard hits. So whether it be death, whether it be just family strife or conflict, whether it's financial, whatever your storm is, emotional, spiritual, saints have fallen away. We want to encourage saints to, and that's why lectureships like this are so important, encourage us to get together and encourage one another. But brothers and sisters, some of us are in the midst of a storm. Some of you just got out of a storm. As my grandmother would say, keep living because you're headed for a storm. But no one's exempt from a storm of the storms of life. Nobody. And so as we look at the Word of God tonight, they were intentionally put through some things to make their lives tough. So now, where is God? And we need to understand it may not happen when you want it to happen. We get so impatient. Here we go again. Man and God. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And so when we think about God's way, if you will, in Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, listen to this. I love this. And I've highlighted three key words that I want you to highlight. You can highlight, circle, whatever, just put it in your notes. But look at the sequencing. In Exodus chapter 3, we'll look at verse 7 and a portion of verse number 8 for time's sake. The Bible says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Let that simmer for a minute. God says, I see what's going on. So why do we act like nobody knows the trouble we've seen? God says, I see it. Now, that brother, that sister, that situation, that circumstance, that trial, that tribulation, whatever it may be, God sees it. We all need to be encouraged in knowing that. I have surely certainly seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. What is God saying? Not only do I see you, but I hear your cries. God did not ignore his people. Our lesson text, if we humble ourselves, the people that are called by my name, if they humble themselves, don't get the big head, don't be stubborn, don't be so selfish that no one can tell you anything. Is this the right crowd for this lesson? Can this help you tonight? This may be the advanced group. This may be so beneath you. You're like, brother, please give us something that can help us. I don't know. I know some of you. Moving on. Share this with a friend that may need this then. How about that? Okay. Because nobody say anything like, teach on, brother. God said, I see you. I see you. I've heard you. I've seen I see your affliction. I've heard your cries. But he goes even further. For I know their sorrows. The same God who's all-knowing, omniscient. The same God who's omnipresent everywhere. The same God who's omnipotent, all-powerful is like, I see you, I hear you, and I know your sorrows. Amen. Then he goes one step further. Because our assigned text, our assigned lesson, is God not only hears, but he answers. And I grew up, I was raised by a grandmother and a mother. And both, especially that grandmama, was the type. If I need to come out there, things will be different. I don't know if you all, because thank God for grandmamas like that, or just parents, aunties, whatever the case may be. But she was that type. If I need to come down to that school, no, you don't need to ever come to my school. Please. When an authority steps in, oh, things will be different. Look at what God said. After he said, Exodus 3, verse 7, I see, I know, I've heard, and I know. And he says, you know what? Verse 8, and I am come down. Oh. I gave you a practical domestic educational example. If my grandmother said, I'm coming down to that school, I had one issue. Uno. I'll give it to you both languages. One issue in elementary school, Pickett Elementary, inner city Toledo, Ohio. One issue, food fight, and I thought it was fun. My mother came down to the school. Everything was fine. She told the principal, don't you? Nope, I got it. Those were days where they paddled kids. And some of you said, kids were like, what, a paddle? Oh, yes. She said, Mr. Jackson, I got it. I was like, I'd rather have Mr. Jackson. Let's get it over with. I will never throw peas again at the table. But God said, I am come down. Not only have I seen, have I heard, and I know, I am come down, verse 8, to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land. God responds. God knows. God hears. Brothers and sisters, I want us to understand tonight that we serve a God that is on the job 24/7. Our encouragement tonight is to recognize through not only this example, but I'll give you another one as well. As we think about just the power of God, the care and concern of God, the providential care and concern of God. That's why it's called providence. Moses and the children of Israel. It was just referred to in the auditorium as well. He must have peeked in my notes. But in Exodus chapter 14, if you have your Bibles. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse number 12. Where the Bible says, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? See, the folks, the children of Israel began to complain. We don't do that. I don't know if they complain in Palm Beach, but they complain in Miami. Maybe a few in Palm Beach. Okay, clock. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? These are the I told you so. So here are the know-it-alls. Moses, look at this. I don't see any way out. I don't see anything wrong with it. You ever heard that one? I don't see anything wrong with it. Is not this the word we told thee in Egypt? Saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. The same ones that had taskmasters, harsh rigor, bitter lives. God who saw, God who knew, God who heard. But yet we are like, you know what? Maybe it was better in Egypt. Maybe it was better when I wasn't a Christian. Wash your mouth out with soap. As a child of God, I'd rather suffer as a Christian than to do anything as a sinner. Amen. Oh, it may be tough, but we serve a God who hears, who knows, and understands. Amen. Don't lose faith. Don't give up. Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said, and see, here's where our faith comes in. Was that a bell? Am I hearing voices? Am I hearing things? Is that a bell? Good. If you hear one, act like you don't hear it. Well, no, I can't ignore that. I will be. Okay. Sound like the Miami Gardens bell. Maybe that's what's in my head. That's the problem. Moses said, verse 13 of Exodus chapter 14, fear ye not. Don't be afraid. Trust God. Hold on. God would not bring us this far to leave us here. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he will show you this day. I don't know about you, but I have seen God work. Just keep living. Keep trusting. ING, present, ongoing action. Keep living. Keep trusting. Keep obeying. But please don't quit. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, oh, you see them today. And again, back to grandma, don't let me come down there. And God said, I am coming down and I will deliver you. See, look at that again. The phraseology, God says, I will deliver you. But see, God uses his vessels. God will save the world. We can't save anybody, but we can share the gospel message. So we are ambassadors. God works through us. So if we live our lives in such a way that the one who hears, knows, and understands us, if we don't listen to him and live as we should, share as we should, be that example, starting with your own households, by the way. I've seen too many in the Lord's church, faithful servants, but yet the house is raggedy. Can I talk like this? It doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway. It starts at home. You show me a strong household, show you, and a collection of strong households, you have a strong congregation. future elders, deacons, and preachers. That's what it's all about. So, brothers and sisters, Moses said, you just stand still. And what a perfect segue, because the Lord will fight for you. The Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more, because the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. There comes a point in time in our lives, we don't have to say much. Just do it. Let our lives speak. So many sports illustrations tonight, because I tell my players all the time, let your game speak. That kid's talking trash on the other team, just let your game speak. And we live at a time where people are like, look at me, look at me. Just make the shot, get back on defense. I don't want to see any celebration, get back. So now we live at a time where everybody wants to say, what kind of celebration will you have? You make the three, and whether it's here or, oh, no, just get back on defense. That's your celebration. So as children of God, as we achieve success, thank God and keep working. Because God hears us. As we think about the Word of God tonight, turn your Bibles if you have them, and I hope you do, to Psalms, the 94th division. Psalms, the 94th division. And I want to take a look at about verse 9. Psalms 94 and verse number 9. And as we think about the physical body, and Paul made reference to that in terms of the eyes, the ears, the hand, and everybody, you know, the several parts of the body, and not every function has its own separate ability and purpose. But look at what the psalmist says, and I love this. What the psalmist says in Psalms 94th division in verse 9, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? That's one of those ooh scriptures, you're right. Shall he that planted the ear, so God who gave us two ears, God who constructed us, you know, when God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, the same God who manufactured, constructed, we did not evolve, we are God's creation. Amen, saints. So the same God who created us and said, you will hear. Will he not hear? The same God, the scripture goes on. He that formed the eye, shall he not see? So we are made in the image of God. And so not only does God give us the ability to see, to hear, but see, God also, as you heard in the book of Exodus, I see, I hear, and I know. And so tonight I hope that the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened so that we can be more focused and more committed. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding. So when we talk about physical sight, I have two things in my eyes that make that clock look a whole lot clearer. I can take them out, then I'll use something else to make it look a little clearer. Did you all pick up on what I just did? So I need help with vision, contacts, and or my frames. Wasn't always that way, but over time, things change, Brother Gilmore. Yes. Keep on living, kids. Keep on living. But my point is, when we think about the eyes of our understanding, spiritual sight relates to understanding. And the understanding I want you all to have tonight, the encouragement tonight, is God hears us, God answers. And God not only sent his son to die for us, but he set the perfect example for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning at verse 21. So now when you know that God hears us, when you know that God answers us, when you know that God sees us, how do you respond? How will you respond? As you leave this quote-unquote virtual locker room and we go back out there in the quote-unquote game of life, how will you respond when you know that there's somebody that has your back, that understands you through and through, and that will support you all the way? 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also, we're not alone in this, also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. a pattern of behavior. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of attitude, that leads to a change of lifestyle. When we truly commit to serving God acceptably, despite the obstacle, that's why it's called perseverance. Believing, depending, trusting, relying, that's why it's called faith. And when Peter says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. As we think about the word of God tonight, Jesus Christ, this is why we were called, because somebody's set for us a pattern of behavior, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was any deceit or guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So when somebody is picking at you, provoking you, whatever the word is today that's being used, but if somebody is just provoking you, what should you do? Peter lets us know in the latter part of the verse, verse 23, commit yourself even more. Amen. See beyond the person, see beyond the situation, and commit yourself to doing what's right by the Almighty God, and we can make it through. But you know what has to be impacted first? If we are to truly recognize what God wants us to be and how we ought to behave, never forget Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. Colossians, the third chapter, beginning at verse number 1. As we think about how God has encouraged us, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Church of Christ at Colossae, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set, fix your affection. Original word, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. When Moses said, stand still and see, as the know-it-all said, it was better in Egypt. Murmuring and complaining is not a new concept. And last time I checked, we all need to be reminded to not complain. It's never happened. It's very difficult for someone who is committed to working in the Lord's church and doing right. They said, let me just stop for a minute. You know, I haven't complained in a long time. These Bible studies and helping people, it feels great, but you know, I just miss complaining about people. It's kind of hard. You would have to really just, slam on the brakes. What I'm saying to you is, if your mindset is about helping people, how have you made, and this is a question you need to ask yourself, how have you made somebody else's life better? Who have you encouraged lately to say, God hears you? Brother, because there are some downtrodden members of the Lord's church. There are members of the Lord's church who are like, I just don't know what's going on. It's the uncertainty of 2020. All the divisiveness and everything else. Brothers and sisters, thank God. As I look at this room tonight, this is a glimpse of heaven. Thank God. The younger, the older, the various ethnicities. But the bottom line is we have one beautiful thing in common, Jesus Christ. Family. Some of you I haven't seen in a long time, but your family. Maybe geographic separation, but you know what? There's spiritual connection. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So God, who is afar off, wrapping up, who understands us from afar off, keep your eyes on the Lord. Our heart, when we sing that song, hold to God's unchanging hand, that's exactly what it means. I'm going to keep trusting you despite. You know, the brother in the auditorium talked about, you know, a father holding a son. I think vividly about when my kids were younger. Then you're holding their hand and just how they just trust you. Walking across the street, taking them into school and everything. I'm that dad. I love you. And they're like, when they were younger, I love you too. Now it's like, I love you. Can you do that in the car? So we do it in the, so it's all good. But you go from holding their hand to letting them go.
Yes.
But when you let them go, just like that prodigal son coming back home, the father saw him afar off.
Amen.
You are still there. You want them, as they grow, we got two on a college campus right now. One just graduated. But the bottom line is you always are mindful of your children.
Amen.
And God is mindful of us. May we set our minds on Jesus Christ and do his will, staying focused, because at the end of the day, and it's interesting, in the auditorium we stopped in Romans 8, and that's where I will close tonight. There's a warfare taking place, brothers and sisters. God knows the battle is not a physical battle. When Jude says, let us earnestly contend for the faith, that was, you know, again, for the faith that was once delivered, that common salvation, that word contend means to wrestle. And I don't know how I did it, but I wrestled in high school. Well, my track coach was the wrestling coach, and he just kind of made me do it. So I'm out there grappling. And in Ohio, they really wrestle. I mean, this is like, it's Pennsylvania, Ohio. I mean, these were grapplers. But one of the things about wrestling, when you put your foot on that red line or that green line, you're down like this, and then I had some coaches teach me. They said, pop him in the head, he will close, he will blink, and after you take him down. I had to distract him, so I did it. Next thing I know, I'm on a mat, and this kid, I'm like, oh, and I pinned him. And I've heard that, I'm like, they raised my arm. I said, I can get used to this, until I was on the other side of the coin. True story. When our backs, when we're backed into something,
yes,
and we feel helpless, there's somebody that's there for us. And so as we contend, there will be opposition.
Yes.
Now, we will win some. We will lose some, quote unquote, but the battle belongs to the Lord. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we say to these things?
Yes.
So here's the bottom line. What are we going to do about it? We know God hears us. We know God understands us. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere. But what are you going to do about it? We can quote scriptures. We can. You might have been in the church 50, 60, 70 years. But what are you going to do today?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I used to be Bible school superintendent. I used to be. Okay, great. What have you done for me lately?
Amen.
What have you done for somebody else lately? Because at the end of the day, what shall we say then to these things? If God before us, who can be against us? The victory is in Jesus Christ. God hears us. God knows us. God sees us. Can we see ourselves to the point of correcting, amending, editing our ways, getting ourselves in alignment with God? Because we've all missed the virtual mark. But in Rome, that was Romans 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages, the payment for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God has made a way for all of us to be saved. And once we have been obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and we're added to the Lord's church, the church of Christ, we have an out. That's the beginning. We have an obligation to live in such a way where we know someone's listening, someone sees, and someone knows. He hears from heaven, and he answers. So when Grandma said, don't let me come down there, I'm thankful to God that he came down
yes.
and set this place in order. May we keep our houses in order.